But if I feel I have any contribution to make, more than everything that's already been said, and I always say Sufis are a great lot because they start by saying you can't possibly describe it, and then they write volume after volume after volume. That's why I like the great Sufi Abu Sa'id, when he said Sufism was at first heartache, only later it became something to write about. But I was brought up in a very, very hard system. I was brought up in the old school, and that appealed to me for many years. Just get on with it, don't mess around. And I had this Kundalini problem for many years, and Mrs. Tweedy asked my teacher in meditation once about it, and he just said, oh, he can bear it. It's not more than 9 on the pain scale. Who cares? And I liked it. In my young years, I liked it. I liked the austerity and the hardness and the, I guess, a sort of masochistic spiritual brutality to it all. And I didn't care. I really didn't care. I didn't care what happened to me, and I didn't care much about other people either, because I was here for the sake of truth. And then this strange, insidious thing happened to me. I started to mellow. And I began to care. And I feel that there is this human vulnerability. Yes, it's only 0.1%, but it's our 0.1%. And somehow I feel that is our contribution, this incredible, once you get glimpses in meditation, these vast oceans of light, this love, this power, this other, with a completely other, and you are so inconsequential, and one becomes less than the dust at the feet of the teacher. And yet, in the midst of it all, there is this human being crying out to God, this human being caught in the suffering of this world, and this human being who cares, whose heart bleeds. Yes, one has no choice, but one does have a choice. Yes, one is a hopeless case, and yet something in this human being, in this humanity, I have found infinitely precious. And I was very glad to see that echoed in some of the Sufi writings. As a Sufi poet called Attar, who wrote The Conference of the Birds. And he told these Sufi stories, and one of them was this traveler walks down the road and he comes upon two angels fighting in the road. And he says, what are you fighting about? And he said, well, there was a human being here who cried out to God with such anguish. And it's that cry we are fighting about, because it is so precious. And somehow, in the midst of it all, in the heartache and the endless practice and the effort and the grace and all of that, I would like to add to this Sufi story the human part, that something in us matters. Something in the human being is deeply precious to God, to oneself, to the beloved, to life. To me, maybe it's just because I renounced too much in previous lives, I often think. I renounced and renounced. And in this life, when I came into this life, I came into an environment that knew nothing about love and nothing about care. And there is something within the human being. It's a bit of a mess, you know, and as you get older you realize even more what a mess you are, and spend so many years trying to sort yourself out, and you realize you did a fairly miserable job at that too. But this quality of care, something in you has learned to care, has learned to love, and not in a grand way. It's not going to move mountains, or it can move mountains, because it's the heart, but it's a very human heart. Hearts matter. There's nothing more precious than a human heart. And a human heart that is singing the name of God, my God, that is, they say, the prophet loved perfume and beautiful women and the shining of eyes in prayer. And when you hear a heart singing the name of God, it's so beautiful, the angels love it. The angels fill up the space because they love to hear a human being singing the praises of God. Traditionally, there is, for this work, there are energetic container is needed. And in the past, or when I first came to the path, that was the tradition of satsang, of just sitting in the presence of the teacher, in order to accommodate more than 40 people. Long ago, we designed or devised an inner container for all of the people who've been attracted to this path, or all of the souls who've been attracted to this path. And that has been started to be created like 40 years ago, and that is what is no longer available. So people have to stand more on their own and be their own container. The group, the individual groups all over the world, they still remain. But at the same time, a certain responsibility has been passed on from me to you.
So last Sunday, you said that the path continues.
Path continues. The path always continues, yes.
So I just wanted to know what you meant by that.
What do I mean? There are two things. First of all, I've trained my son to continue this work, and he already is working with the next generation of Sufis. And the other is that I have given all of those... I haven't taken any more new students for the last 2 or 3 years because I couldn't. Everybody has been given what they need to live the path. And so the path continues through you. You have to live it. There's no point in going continually to the candy counter. And so the path continues. Path always continues. Sometimes in this our particular tradition, it's more hidden. He was talking about Lalaji. Lalaji's teacher was very hidden, and his teacher was very hidden. Sometimes it becomes more visible. Whether it'll go back to being more hidden, I don't know. As I said, this was an experiment that I was part of to really help a human being transform completely, this final stage in the journey of the soul. It's a one-on-one process. The dream I had a long time ago was I had to find for Mrs. Tweedy a pot for cooking one egg at a time. Everybody is treated differently. You can't do it collectively. So we created a container that could contain as many people as possible, as many souls as possible, not people, souls as possible. At the same time, having this one-on-one relationship, I know you all individually. I mean, you feel that, don't you? I know you. You're not just somebody who comes to a seminar. And many people who've been here, I've known you for 20 years. They're your children. Your children are now going to Emmanuel's meetings. It continues, right? But there was a limit to the amount of one-on-one. Other traditions have done it differently. They've become organizations in which... there are kind of levels and different teachers at different levels, and that was not something I wanted to do because it's a one-on-one relationship. So for 30 years I created this container for 800 people and gave them individually. I learned how to, as this gentleman over there felt, how to give it also at a group meeting with 300 people. To transmit this energy. But it cost a lot. And I tell you a secret. I have access to a lot of love. Okay? It's just the way I was made spiritually. But the love I have access to is where it is too pure and too fine for you to digest, or too powerful. It's a completely other reality. Pure love. It's like 100% alcohol. So what I discovered esoterically, is in order to give it to you, I have to wrap it in a little bit of humanity. I have to wrap it in a little bit of my own human substance. Otherwise you couldn't digest it. And it used up all of me. So it didn't regenerate. I spent 15 years sitting at the feet of my teacher, and I created, or it was created for me, a substance to use for that. And then it got used up. I've been doing it for 30 years, but it's kind of taken me to the edge. Because of the way I'm made, I wanted to make sure that everybody to whom I opened the door had what they needed to complete their soul's journey. That was my covenant. And from what I've been told, that's been done. I love this part of Ecclesiastes. There is a time for everything under the sun. And it's something in all of these years I have been working with souls. I have learned there is a time. Everything has its time. And there is a rhythm, there is a season, there are seasons for the souls. I remember when Mrs. Tweedy was very old and she had a small group, and she said to the small group, "You're having an extraordinary experience because you're witnessing a teacher in their decline." 30 years ago, as I said, I started lecturing down the coast on the subject of the mystic marriage and trying to weave this thread of real mysticism, of the tradition to which I've been given access, into this very barren land. I remember having a dream when I first came here, and I was flying over this barren land, and the feminine was being treated abysmally. The feminine was kind of in small huts, and there was no nourishment there for the feminine, and the land was parched, and trying to weave this other mystical tradition that came from India that had been there for centuries into this land and give those who came access to it. And yet there is a deep knowing that everything has its time. And you wait. I've been waiting now for this time for at least the last 2 years, trying to see if all the threads have been tied up, have been completed. And then a week ago I had a sentence that came to me: everything has been done, everything is complete in such a way that it is difficult to understand. We are not used in our culture to things being complete. This is a culture, fast food culture, everything is put together, everything falls apart. And those of you who have been with me, and also for those of you who haven't, who are present here, because I said there is another thread, which is to share this ancient tradition also with others, to witness it, to hear the story of the soul, which for me began when I was 19 and I was introduced to this white-haired lady in this talk of mathematics, and she gave me one look, and I had the experience of becoming just a piece of dust on the floor, not knowing anything about anything. And it was 10 years before I read this saying, this ancient Sufi saying, the disciple has to become less than the dust at the feet of the teacher. And I was asked to take, together with my wife, to take this path to America, to weave it into the fabric of this land. As I say, the masters have never worked here. It's a new land for them, and how it will be, I don't know. They say one does one's work and one passes on, but something has been completed, and I think those of you who belong to this path, just give space to the completion, not the anxiety, not the, oh, what shall I do now, or how is it going to be, or this or that. We don't know. We are mystics. We belong to God. We never know how it's going to be. I didn't know that I was going to close the group until 12 o'clock the night before, and I was up all night and didn't know what to do anymore. And then I said, it's the only thing I can do, because I can't go on like this, because I'm so tired, I've been tired for so long. And I care about you all deeply, you're in my heart, your threads of love are woven into my heart in ways you will never understand. And I have been praying for you all every night for years and years and years and years. I know your past, I know your future, I know your potential. And that is fine, that work has been done. But I just give you a plea from a tired old man. Just please give it space now. Let it be. Don't try to change anything, backwards or forwards, right or left. Just let it be. The path continues, the path will always continue in a different form, in a different way, or maybe the same. Or give me a little bit of space for the next while and honor what you have been given, because it is more precious than heaven and earth, and it can take you back to God if you use it as it can be used. Good. Okay, friends. Thank you very much. God bless.